in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Good to see Vinod, also Uncle Laurie. So Vinod recently moved from China to Bangalore, right? No, but he goes to China frequently. Luke chapter 10, the story of a good Samaritan. I think it's in verse 25 onwards. Maybe two or three thoughts from that passage. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And this is the question that is asked by the lawyer. And we see this question appearing many times in the gospel. And even a rich young ruler asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I think it is in Matthew 19 and Mark chapter 10 and Luke 18. So he asked a genuine question. He was a seeker. He was a person who was searching. But this man is not like that. So this man asked with a view to put Jesus Christ to test. "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What is the answer? What should we do to inherit eternal life? How can we be saved? Believe in Jesus, right? So, any doubts? No. So, believe in Jesus. But Jesus Christ never answers that way. Did you notice that? And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And it is the same thing that Jesus said to the rich young ruler in Matthew 19 when he came and he said to that man, "Do all that God has commanded." And then he is asking, "Which one?" And then he quotes the second portion of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not murder, steal," and everything. And then the rich young ruler says, "I have been doing all these things from my youth." And then he says, "Go all that you have and sell it and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and follow me, come and follow me." And then that thing he was not able to do. What he was able to do, the rich young ruler, is the second portion of the Ten Commandments. But the first one is the worship, and you can't have two masters. And the worship, his heart was in the riches, and he was worshiping, for he had many riches, and he was not able to do it. So in one sense, whenever people ask this question, Jesus Christ is pointing to them to the law. As it says in the book of Galatians, the law will reveal that we need the Savior. And in this case also, it is the same thing. But this man is a little bit not interested. He is not a seeker. And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And this is the question that was asked to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22. So again, a lawyer comes and he is asking, "What is the greatest commandment?" And in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus Christ says the same thing. And this man got it right. And he is saying the first portion and the second one. And he is saying that you shall love your Lord. And then also you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." The first point that I want to bring it here is the answer of Jesus Christ to this question. So we know the answer that what should I do to inherit eternal life? It is simply that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you notice that Jesus Christ is saying, "Do this and you will live." Did you notice law always says that, "Do this and you will live"? But grace says, live and then do it. That is Matthew 5, 6, 7, 7. You will be given a life and you live out that life. In living out that life, you will be doing it. And the first answer is, in verse 28, Jesus Christ says, do this and you will live. But this man is not going, and he is answering, questioning further in 29, wishing to justify himself, and he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus Christ gives the story of Good Samaritan. And then look at in verse 37. And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him is the neighbor to that man. And Jesus Christ said to him, go and do the same. Did you notice the contradiction between the first one and the second one? Okay, you got the law right. You go and do and live it. So in doing that, you will realize that you will not have the life from the law. And you will meet the Savior. But when you answer, when he answers it, and he says, live and do it. So grace always says that live and do it. But the law says, do and live. But in this answer, he realizes that no, he is bringing that man to a notice that the priest and the Levite, probably you know, talking about the law and the sacrifice, were not able to do. And whereas the Good Samaritan was able to do. What Jesus Christ is saying that our life that we receive is a gift. And in that, we have a portion to live out. And we do that life as we live out the life. And let's look at the answer that Jesus Christ gives in verse 30 onwards. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the robbers. And they stripped him, not just that. They beat him, not just that. They went away leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, and he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he had come to the place, saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. When he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds and poured oil, wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay to you. Which of these 3 you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robber's hands? What was the question of the lawyer? Who is my neighbor? What is the answer of Jesus Christ? Out of these 3, who proved to be the neighbor to that man? Did you understand that? Jesus Christ, the man is asking, who is my neighbor? And Jesus Christ's question is, are you a neighbor to anyone? So which means that it is not that who is my neighbor, but the question lies, am I a neighbor to someone? Let's read verse 36 one more time. Which one of these, out of the 3 people, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man? Did you get it? So it is not about who is your neighbor. It is about are you a neighbor. Correct? It's not about do this and live. But it is about live and do it. It is about receiving and living out that life. And then he said, the one who showed mercy. Probably, you know, so the man, lawyer, is a Jew. He is not willing to pronounce Samaritan. And he says, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus Christ says, go and do the same. That is one thought I had. And the other one is the question that the lawyer is asking. In verse 29. And wishing to justify himself. And he said, I was thinking about that question. And wishing to justify, he said, and you can fill in the blanks in many ways. And I wrote a couple of things. And you are speaking, or God is speaking to me. And God has spoken to me, this is what this is. and wishing to justify myself, and I can say, where is written in the Bible that I have to come to 3 services a week? That could be one way to look at. And this man is asking, wishing to justify, who is my neighbor? But the answer is, are you a neighbor? Or it could be wishing to justify myself, I can say that I'm not that worst. I'm a good man. So you can fill in the blanks. And if we are in that place, and it is very hard, and the answer is given, the conviction is come, but this man wanting to justify, that is the second thought I had. And the third one is, our life is not an accident. And this we spoke in Jayanagar. Our life is very much in the plan of God. In verse 30, Jesus Christ replied, a man was going down. Actually, if you notice the map, Jericho is on top, the north of Jerusalem. When you geographically speak, you have to say man is going up from Jerusalem to Jericho. But here the Greek construction says that the man is going down. The reason is Jerusalem is somewhere around 2,500 plus feet above the sea level. Whereas Jericho is somewhere around 1,000 feet below the sea level. The distance between Jericho and Jerusalem is approximately 25 kilometers. And you can imagine in that 15 miles of journey, you are going down 3,000 feet. How is it going to be, right? It's worse than Kodaikanal, right? So you are here, about 15 miles journey from Jerusalem, you are going down 3,000 feet within 25 kilometers. So that was the journey. That journey had many windings. And it was placed that is filled with robbers. And look at here. Jesus Christ replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the robbers. And they stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And in verse 31, and by chance, if I am going by chance, definitely I can help because I don't have a work to do. So by accident, and I don't have a goal to go. So I'm not going to. Look at, did you notice that? By chance, the priest was going down. According to the Greek construction, even the priest was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And his was not a focused journey. And he was a wandering one. The construction says that by chance, by accident, that word coincidence, he was going that way. And if he has no work and it is easy for him to attend, suppose if you are going for an interview at 5 o'clock and you suddenly see somebody is meeting with an accident and you would be wondering to check whether should I look at this man or should I go to the interview, right? So the man had excellent opportunity to minister to that man who fell among the robbers. And that is one way to look at. The other one is, who is he? He is a priest. And he is going away from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho is, of course, the place that is filled with the priest in Luke chapter 19. And he is going away probably after a month journey or whatever it is. And he is taking a walk. And in one sense, his life is a wandering one. But our life is totally different. God has redeemed our life. When we get up, we say, this is the day that the Lord has done. We don't say, by chance, I'm going to face this day. God has redeemed our life. And we say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day. Do you know the doctrine of this day? It is wonderful. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the time that God has given to us. It is not by chance. And what did Pilate's wife said to Pilate, Claudia? And she said in Matthew 27, this day I had a lot of trouble. If only you could listen to me, have nothing to do with this man. This day God spoke to me. I had a lot of trouble. And Luke 19 verse 44, if you knew this day, correct? So our God is God of our, and he has redeemed our life. As Abigail said to David, our life is bundled with a living God. We don't face the life by chance. When this priest was, that is the only time in the New Testament it is appearing, a man who lives or walks his life by coincidence. That too, he is a priest. By chance, he is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he passed on the other side. We always have two sides. One to probably come this side or the other side. Look at likewise the Levite also. Again, the construction says this man was also going. And second time you see the word by chance, according to the Greek construction, when he came to the place and he saw him and passed on the other side. In verse 33, the Samaritan was not going by chance. He was going on a journey. Did you notice that? I have 5 o'clock interview. Should I look at this? I have a journey to do it. It's very difficult. But his heart was moved with compassion. Are we living our life by chance or are we living by faith? Is our life a journey that we walk by faith in 2 Corinthians 5:7, or is our life by chance, by sight, as Lord chose? Okay, you go first. You choose. And he looks at, okay, by chance, I'll go to that life. I'll go to that place, which is close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And eventually he ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Our life is not by chance. Our life is by God's plan, by a journey and a redeemed life. I think in Jayanagar we went through the different characters who lived by chance and who lived on the journey, right? So probably this man, Nineveh, right? Who is that? Jonah. Wanted to go to the place by chance. And if you notice that story goes, he goes to the place and he looks at the ship, and the ship by chance was going to Tarshish. But God had given him a journey to Nineveh. But he took that ship. But God is God of grace, and he found a fish and he turned the fish towards the journey to Nineveh. And these two men had wonderful opportunity because they had enough time. On the other side, these two men lost tremendous opportunities because their walk was characterized by chance. It says in Ephesians 5:15, we don't walk like the unwise do. We walk as wise people, circumspectly. And the next verse it says, redeeming the time. This is the greatest parable that is only recorded in the book of Luke, where Jesus Christ is giving two different views. One is, who are we? And are we neighbors to the people? And we can view that parable in the light of the gospel that God has given to us and the stewardship of it in 1 Corinthians 9:17. And if I do it by my will, I have a reward. And if I do it against my will, because of the stewardship. And we don't live our life by chance. We live our life on a journey, right? Do you think that Abraham was going to Canaan by chance? No, he was on a journey. God called him to that place. Are we living our life by chance in John chapter 14 verse 1? In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you. As Pastor Shala says, we are on a journey, or you can say we are on a mission. So we can't say that we are on by chance. No. Our life is one of with tremendous assurance. And Jesus Christ gave us this assurance. So when we walk, we don't walk by chance. We walk on a journey. As the Spirit of God ministered to us, we bring in the gospel to people. As we go on soul winning, do you think that we are going by chance? I don't think so. We are on a journey. We pray, we prepare our hearts, and we are looking to people to speak to people. And when they ask you, why are you talking to me? No, we do this every Saturday. We do this every, right? We are on a journey. No, by chance, of course, that man would have come by chance, but it is the plan of God. So we are on a journey. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Minister to us through the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.